Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show, definitely trying to protect wealth this week as we look at estate taxes with Paul Grant. Some new taxes on the horizon.
Yes, there are. So welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. We started this discussion last week with what is an estate tax, and we looked at Washington State specifically. And we're going to turn our attention this week to the federal side, because there's two estate taxes. So in a brief review, there's two estate taxes. One is a Washington State estate tax, and if someone has an estate that is worth more than $2.2 million, a 15% tax will start, and it graduates up to 21%. So that's one estate tax. The second estate tax is the federal estate tax. That tax currently is very high. It is at $11.7 million, but a 40% tax starts if you hit that magic marker. There's new proposals. There's multiple proposals of tax-related issues in Congress right now. And so one of them is the 99.5% Act. It's given by Senator Bernie Sanders. So we already know we're in trouble if it comes from penned by him. But what it does is it brings the estate tax, among many things, it brings the estate tax down to $3.5 million. And it increases the base amount of the tax from 40 to 45%. So if someone passes away and they have more than $3.5 million under his proposed law, which is in writing and currently on the floor for review, then a 45% tax would start. And just for fun, you would already be under the Washington State estate tax. So there is a thing called double taxation.
Yeah.
And
that's like 60% taxation. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we don't quite add them together, but nonetheless, it starts to get bitey in a hurry. I mean, boy, it bites you. So we need to have the conversation. There's a couple things that I want to set up today's conversation with. Number one, this is a proposed law. Nothing ever goes to Congress proposed and comes out exactly intact. So there's always negotiation. It always changes. So I am only reviewing the current proposal, but I have zero confidence that it is actually going to look like this at the back end. Do I believe that something is going to happen? Yes. So I believe that it is low-hanging fruit. The estate tax is low-hanging fruit. We have spent money in the past 12 to 16 months in America at an astounding rate, and we have increased our debt load beyond what we could have imagined. That has to be rectified. And the only way you rectify it is by taxes. And nobody wants to go to a presidential campaign saying, I'm going to raise everyone's taxes. That person has no chance. But it truly is the only way that we can pay off our national debt. So therefore, we have to look at where can we find taxes that are socially acceptable. Well, I'm telling you, the estate planning tax, the estate tax, is where the low-hanging fruit is.
Tax the rich.
Yes. As a matter of fact, that whole discussion point is that the rich are not paying their fair share. Well, I could show you graph after graph to where mathematically that is completely...
Actually, they pay most of the taxes.
That's right. It is completely false. But it, on a social barometer, that sounds like it could be true. And so therefore, that's been the mantra that has been spoken into society, is that the rich need to pay more taxes. The corporate structure, you know, corporations are just getting rich, and so they have to pay more taxes. Well, they pay taxes. Now, I don't disagree that there are loopholes. Okay. As a matter of fact, I get paid for loopholes. Right. But we always want to do it in a righteous way. We always want to do it in a very solid legal way. And are there ways that we can maneuver finances to ensure that it is going to accomplish other purposes than going to a federal or state government that, in my opinion, really cannot manage money at all? And so, therefore, if you have a desire to ensure that wealth and money that God has blessed you with is utilized properly, then you may hold to the same thought process that I don't want to pay taxes if I don't have to. All right. Well, an estate tax is a tax that really is optional. How is it optional? Well, you plan. So an estate tax is only imposed upon those who don't plan. So we can plan and make sure that money is utilized by those that you want it to be blessed by. So in other words, what's your vision? So we always go back to this. What is the vision that God has given you for your money? How do you want to pass on what he has given you to be a steward of? Is it to your family? Is it to ministry? Is it to other great organizations who do a lot of fantastic work? That is your vision, then we want to accomplish it. We don't need to give it aimlessly back to the federal government or the state government. So we can do legal work that will help make sure that money is used as God has put the vision in you. That's my heartbeat, is that we want to use it in a steward manner that is pleasing and brings glory to God and his kingdom and what he's about.
Are these new state taxes that are being proposed, are they not only percentages but also those loopholes? Are they changing how you can get around some taxes? Are those some of the new proposals?
Yeah, definitively. And so not a scare tactic, but there is a lot of stuff on the drawing board right now that these bills actually start taking aim at removing these tools from estate planners. And so it's one thing to bring the tax threshold down so that a tax is imposed earlier on estates, but then it's also another thing to handcuff estate planners from being able to actually help charities, actually begin to create wealth transfer opportunities so that it can be used by families for multiple generations who are doing God's work. And so, yes, the proposals are taking aim not just at the tax structure, but also at the possibility of how we can assist families maneuver things into families' hands. So, well, let's get into it, shall we? Okay. What are some of the things here that this 99.5% Act actually have on the drawing board?
Okay.
Well, number one, a big deal that that is actually not talked about as much in other articles that I see, because I follow this stuff. So I read a lot of different articles in where the law is and where the proposals are going. It was done several months ago, so it's been in the hands since about April or so. It's been in the hands of Congress. And the big deal of why that's important is that at any point in time, when they pass another bill, when they pass another law, they can actually look at Bernie Sanders' law and take a portion of it. And because it's already in writing, they can put it on to another bill very quickly. So if they have very high support in a different bill that may be more bipartisan, that is very strong in its support structure, then they can take a part of the current written bill that doesn't have as much support, steal a section of it, and put it into the bill that has a lot of support, and all of a sudden, the current 99.5% Act that is in written form gets placed into other bills instead of being passed as a whole. Mm. So as a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that the bill as it's proposed has a lot of support and would be passed in its current form. As a matter of fact, there are rather big gaps in its support system. And so therefore...
On both sides of the aisle.
Yes, it's mm-hmm. true. Because mm-hmm. And how does that work? Well, it works that if a Democratic congressman or congresswoman gets elected in a conservative area, then they need to make sure that they're not taking far-right ideology in passing bills, because then they have no hope of being reelected. Mm. And so because they want to be reelected in a more conservative area, then they are going to pull away from a proposal like the 99.5% Act. So that's why even though it is very Democratic controlled, both House and Senate and the White House, that's why things just can't get pushed through without some balance in the whole system, because there are more conservative Democratic congressmen who need to hold their seat and so therefore will not vote with very, a liberal agendas in it.
Communist.
No. Yeah, right. Well, we're not
socialist.
Going quite there.
Socialist.
But okay. And so, yes, there are many socialistic ideologies that are coming back to play in some of the thought processes of the very liberal. That's not the mainstream Democratic Party, but there is a certainly a section of that. So, but there's also a section that we need. We try to give an honest view of the party line, and there is a conservative side of the Democratic Party because they need to hold their seat.
Sure.
So therefore, just because there's a lot of control in the current political environment doesn't mean that everything's just going to be passed through without any abatement. Biden can't just come in and start passing everything. As a matter of fact, one of his proposals that is on the board in this infrastructure bill, it doesn't have a lot of support. As a matter of fact, the numbers are way too high for many of the conservative in his own party. Mm. And so likewise, in the 99.5% Act, there's a lot of resistance in the Act. But the important thing, it's in writing. And so if there is great support to another bill, we can steal some of that language. You mentioned are some of the tools that estate planners use on the chopping block. Yes, that could be a very easy way to actually get one of those tools taken off the board and shifted into law by tailing it onto something that has great support in another area. So it actually is a very important deal that he has proposed something in writing, and it proposed it early. So he got it out of the gate. And where did he get a lot of his ideas? Well, then candidate Biden, all of last year, was talking about how he wanted to bring the estate tax down. As a matter of fact, every presidential candidate in the Democratic Party a year and a half ago when they were kind of jockeying for who was actually going to be on the ticket, all of them agreed on this one thing. Let's bring the estate tax down to $3.5 million. So that's why I believe that the estate tax threshold is in the targets. Do I think it's going to come down to 3.5? I'm not so sure. I wouldn't bet a lot of money on that. But can it land around 5 million again? Yeah, I think it could easily land there. Could they move the tax rate from 40% to 45? Yeah, I think those are a couple of things that could gain support and that it could gain wide support. Because why? Because we need more low-hanging taxing structures that we can maneuver. So do I believe that by the end of the year, there is going to be movement on the federal estate tax one way or another? Yes, absolutely. Not on the state, not Washington state. Go back to last week's discussion. We talked about Washington state estate tax last week. But on the federal level, I believe that there is a high probability that it is moving, currently at 11.7. Every Democratic candidate said, let's move it to 3.5, that's where Bernie Sanders' bill starts. Let's bring down the estate tax to $3.5 million as the threshold. Let's raise it by 5%. Let's make it a 45% tax. That is the foundation of his tax bill. And boy, if you start talking about a 45% tax, that's a steep tax. And so if you are anywhere in that ballpark, we need to start talking. And we need to start talking now because I believe something will happen this year and it will become law January 1. That's what I believe. That is, there's nothing written, there's nothing signed, but I believe it's going to happen. And we have a short period of time to actually maneuver away from the estate tax. Let's be good stewards. Let's talk about how do we structure your estate plan to make sure that what God has given you is being utilized for the vision that he has given you, whether it's for your family or whether it's to help build the kingdom of God through other charities or through other church missions and everything else. Let's be strong stewards and let's have the conversation.
Okay, if you want to have that conversation with Paul Grant about your estate, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts, including last week's starting session. There's upcoming educational workshops, so please log on to legacyandfaith.com. Sign up. Let's have the conversation. That's the starting place, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, looking at changes to estate tax law. And Paul, are there any other things that are concerning you about the proposals?
Yeah, there is. There's one other section of this law that is very concerning, actually, and it deals with what's called a step-up and basis rule. Now, the step-up and basis rule is that when an individual passes away, that the value, their basis, in other words, what they paid for it, steps up to the current value. So let me give you an example. I know that when I throw around numbers, it's more difficult to follow in a listening audience, but so I'll try to be very straightforward. If I had bought Microsoft shares at $100 a share, okay? And over the time that I held it, even after splits and everything else, let's say that it was worth now $1,000 a share. Well, if I wanted to cash that in, I would pay a capital gains tax. And how that would be calculated is I bought it for $100. I sold it for $1,000. So I would have a capital gains tax on the $900 increase. And that starts at 15%, goes up to, 23.6, I think, percent. And so based upon how much I sold and how much capital gains I had in that given year, I would pay a long-term capital gain tax on the amount that I sold based upon that $900 increase per share that I received. All right. So if I pass away and I never sold that and it's worth $1,000. But I paid $100 a share for it, so there should be a capital gain tax. So when those shares go to my girls, okay, technically they're supposed to pay the tax that I would have, except there is called a step up in basis rule. So what it means is that when it's handed to my girls, the IRS views that the girls bought those shares for $1,000 a share. They did not buy it for what I did, which is $100 a share. Now, that's different if you gift things. This is why if you have some money and you get the thought process, oh, I'll just put my girls on my house. I'll just give the shares away. Well, you're offending the step up in basis rule and you're giving an unnecessary tax to your heirs by gifting money away. If you gift the wrong asset, they take it with your basis. So they take it as if they paid $100. Mm. But if I die holding that, then it's transferred to my heirs as though they paid $1,000 for it. So that's called the step up in basis rule. It steps up from what I bought it at, and it steps up to what the value is on the date of my passing. All right, so does everyone see the step up in basis rule? Mm. What happens? Well, that is on the chopping block. That is proposed to be eliminated in one of three different laws that are currently being proposed to Congress right now. So removal of the step up in basis means that instead of the value being passed over to my girls, they take it as if they purchased it for what I did. So in other words, anytime someone passes away and their estate has increased in their hands, then there is the possibility that the federal government loses the opportunity to tax that money. Now, the difficulty is that when I purchase most stock, I've already paid taxes through income tax. Sure. I have money left over, so I'm trying to be a wise steward and I invest it. So then when that money is increased, there's a tax on that increase. So this new 99.5% bill wants to eliminate that step up. So it means that when my girls inherit, they get it at the rate that I paid. So we don't get the step up, and it is a huge tax bite to the next generation. It means that many things would have to be readjusted. And not only that, but another bill tacks on that it actually has to be that the tax needs to be paid within a certain period of time after someone passes away. So not only do they take it they lose the step up, but now they have to pay the tax like an estate tax. So an estate tax, you actually have to pay within 9 months of somebody passing away. And so they're trying to slip in that a capital gains tax would also have to be paid in the hands of the beneficiary versus having that step up. So those are big deals. So not only are we lowering the estate tax threshold, not only are we eliminating or raising the amount of tax that would be exposed to from 40 to 45%, but now we're eliminating potentially the step up in basis. So here's where I have even less confidence that all of these things will be passed. I think it is a double whammy to not only pay an estate tax, but also pay a capital gain tax. If I had to cast my bet right now, which I'm probably not supposed to bet on Christian radio, but that's okay. If I had to take a stab at what parts of these laws would be shelved and not passed, losing the step up in basis would probably be the one that I would say that has even less support. Mm. That has even a smaller opportunity of actually being passed. And so, but like I said earlier in the show, I do believe that there is movement on the federal estate tax that is coming down the pike. But I really have good news. Even in this bad news show, I hope I didn't depress you, that there's opportunities that we can take advantage of. I'll bring in the next shows what what do some of those opportunities look like? But you have to understand, an estate tax is imposed upon people who don't plan. So out of the gate, the first call to action is we must plan. We have to do our estate planning, and there are things inherently built in that save taxes, specifically if you're married. I'm sorry, single people. It's just the way that it works. But if you are married, there are things that we do inherently in base planning that will help estate taxes. But even if you have more than the thresholds, even if you have more than the 3.5 or the 2.2 in Washington state, there are still things that we can do so that we can plan to be good stewards. You know, being a good steward takes planning. Otherwise, you are left to the system as a whole. And that is the worst type of plan that you can do. So therefore, my call to action is, let's have the conversation. Let's make sure that what God has given you goes to the places that you want it to go. I am trusting that God has given you a vision with where you are supposed to move your finances, whether it's with family and ministry and everything else. So let's make sure that we plan, use the legal mechanisms that we have available to us as believers, and let's make sure that we plan accordingly, because that is true stewardship, that we plan and we plan according to the vision that God has given us.
Planning with Purpose is the name of Paul's organization. And if you would like some help with your estate plan, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's ways that you can communicate. There's upcoming educational shows, and there's past podcasts, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.